that separated me from Christ my Lord. Was so vast the crossing I could ne'er afford. From where I was to His demand, it seems so far. I cried, dear Lord, I cannot come to where You are. He came to me. He came to me when I could not come to where He was. He came to me. That's why He died on Calvary, when I could not come to where He was. He came to me. He came to me when I was bound in chains of sin. He came to me when I possessed no hope within. He picked me up and drew me gently to His side, where today in His sweet love I now abide. He came to me. He came to me when I could not come to where He was. He came to me. That's why He died on Calvary, when I could not come to where He was. He came to me. That's why He died on Calvary, when I could not come to where He was. He came to me.
All right, amen. I want you to take your Bibles, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1 in your Bibles. Proverbs chapter 1. We'll begin reading in verse 24. And we'll read to the end of the chapter, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 24. And I'm going to take my glasses off so I can see the text a little better. That happens when you get my age. I do not need glasses to read. I see the Bible fine. I need glasses to see you. I got to tell you, you look a lot better since I took them off. Man, maybe I'll leave them off. Might help you if you took yours off looking this way. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 24. If you found that, go ahead and stand with me. Stretch your legs one last time while we read the text and pray. Heavy, heavy emphasis on the word last. Preacher's already said something about that, but now you need to understand that when folks get up and walk around while I'm preaching, it confuses me. And I forget where I'm at in the sermon. The only thing I know to do is go back to the beginning. So if you want to get out of here sometime today, sermon's not that long if I don't have to preach it six times. Amen. Help me out now. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 24. He said, "Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Why? For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Let's bow our heads and ask God to meet with us. Father, we love you. We thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for every person who's come this morning. Please, please, Holy Ghost of God, would you bind the enemy, the strong man, off the service, off every life, every mind and heart? Would you pull down every stronghold? We plead the blood of the Lord Jesus on this place, and we ask for your hedging about, that there might be a liberty to preach and to hear without distraction. And then, Spirit of God, would you draw the lost to the Lord Jesus? Would you minister the hearts of your people? Would you get glory to our God? And, Lord, we'll praise you and thank you for what you do in that area. And please do a mighty work in hearts and save sinners. And we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and be seated, please. I want to talk to you about two words, these words, too late. You know, the Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 24, that there is a time when it's too late. We have said no to God too often. We have pulled the shoulder when He compassionately laid His hand on us. You ever try to reason with somebody? The Bible talks about pulling the shoulder frequently in the prophets, making application to the nation of Israel. You ever reach out, lay your hand on some young man's shoulder, and he pulls his shoulder in rebellion? God said there's a time when you pull the shoulder once too often. There's a time when He extends a hand of mercy and grace only to have it slapped away once too often. God said there's a time when there are no more opportunities, there is no more a remedy for your problem because God has repeatedly dealt with you and you've said no. We will not have this man to reign over us. We will not have the Lord to govern us. I'm going to do what I want to do when I want to do it. God said, you might think you're getting away with that, but you are building up a situation that will bring ultimate judgment. And there's a time when it is too late. God's talking about such a time in this passage of Scripture. You say, too late for what? Well, if it's a lost person, too late to come to Christ, too late for salvation. You know, the Bible tells us in John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You don't come to God your way. You come His way or not at all. You don't come through a denomination and you don't come through the baptistry to salvation. You don't come by good works. You come by Jesus Christ in a born-again experience or not at all. Jesus is the way exclusively. There is no other. But He tells us that not only does He tell us how to be saved, He tells us when to be saved. In 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2, He said, behold, now is accepted time. Behold, now or today is the day of salvation. Is there anybody here who doesn't know when now is? You know, don't you? Anybody that does not know when today is, we know. God tells us how to be saved. It's through Christ, and He tells us when to be saved. There's some urgency to this matter of salvation, and God warns us in Hebrews 2 and verse 3, He said, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? He said there's a time when escape is not an option. He said we can neglect, be negligent, and procrastinate, put things off until we find ourselves in an irreversible situation. Can I say to you that life is very uncertain? And I assure you that if you close your eyes in death as a lost soul, open your eyes in hell as a lost soul, you have a problem that has no remedy. Proverbs 29 and verse 1, God warns of that reality, and not just when a person arrives in hell. You can cultivate such a hard, cold, stony heart that you have a resistance built up to the Holy Ghost of God. And in Proverbs 29 and verse 1, the Bible says, "He that being often reproved and hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." He said there comes a time when there's no remedy. You know, it's bad to have cancer or any other disease for that matter, but there are cures for some forms of cancer if you catch it in time. There was a man in my hometown that seemed to be the picture of health, and one day he started feeling ill. He went to the doctor, and when he went to the doctor, they did several scans. About a week later, he got the test results back, and they said, "We're really sorry, but you are terminal with cancer." Now, they said the kind of cancer you have is curable, but it is so far advanced. If we had caught this a long time, and the guy said, "Well, look, you know, I've only been sick for a month. Surely it couldn't have spread that fast." They said, "Oh, no, you've had this for years. And it's grown and attached itself to organs undetected. And you're not feeling ill today because of the presence of the cancer, but because the cancer has now stopped certain organs from functioning." Here's a guy that thought he was healthy and there was no alarm. He thought that everything was all right. And by the time that he realized he had a major problem, it was too late. If we'd have caught this 10 years ago, if we'd have taken care of this then. And the truth is that you better be careful about saying no to God. You better be careful about pushing God's hand to the side when He extends that loving hand of mercy and grace in salvation. The man in Luke chapter 16, the rich man in hell, when he arrived, he began to beg for mercy. You know what he heard? "Son, remember. You had mercy available when you were living. You sat in that preaching service on that Sunday morning or several Sunday mornings. You heard the gospel. You knew that Christ died for your sins. You realized that you were imperfect and a sinner in need of a Savior. God extended His hand to mercy and you brushed it to the side. God spoke to your heart by way of Holy Ghost conviction and you turned a deaf ear. You said, 'No, not now.'" That's dangerous ground to tread, my friend, and that's what we're talking about this morning. You can mess around until you squander your last opportunity, until you get in a situation where you either are out into eternity and it's too late, or you have such a cold, hard, calloused heart by saying no to God repeatedly that you're implacable. The Spirit of God can't even work with you. He tries, but you have built up such a strong resistance, you have been so calloused that you don't even experience conviction anymore. You hear somebody say, "Well, I just don't feel convicted about it." That is not a good sign. If the Bible says something's wrong and you don't feel convicted about it, it doesn't mean it's not wrong. It means you've cultivated a hard heart. And if you can hear the gospel as a lost soul and don't feel convicted, you, my friend, are nigh unto destruction. That's a dangerous situation to find yourself in. God said to these people to whom He's speaking, He said, "I called, and you said, 'No,' you refused." He said, "I told you, now's the time, today's the day," and you said, "No, not today. Not now." He said, "I stretched out my hand." Have you ever stretched your hand out to shake somebody's hand and they just kind of brush it away? Ever done that? God said, "I stretched out my hand in mercy." Can I explain something to you this morning? God is not the one at a disadvantage here. The fact that He loves you enough to give you an opportunity to be saved does not mean that you have him over a barrel. Does not mean that he is at a disadvantage. You are the one who's in trouble, and you ought to thank God for his mercy and his grace and respond immediately when you recognize that in spite of your sin, he still loves you enough to give you one more chance. We don't deserve a single chance. And if God is good enough to give me a chance, I better not say no. I better not brush his hand or slap his hand to the side. You know, this is like refusing a pardon. You understand the pardon is designed to set somebody free who is legitimately guilty. A pardon means we acknowledge your guilt, but we're willing to forgive you and release you of the penalty. I think that's pretty good. But can I say to you this morning, if you're on death row and there's a presidential pardon granted, and when they bring that pardon in hand, they'll offer it you, you brush it aside, you're going to die. And it won't be for lack of mercy. It will not be for lack of grace. It won't be because there was no solution to the problem. It will be because you refused. God stretched out his hand and you disregarded it. You realize if I'm at war with somebody, and in James chapter 4 and verse 4 said that the sinner's at enmity with God. That means to be in conflict and war, opposed to one another. You say, well, I don't feel opposed. Doesn't matter. Sin is an offense, an affront to a holy God. It puts us at enmity with him. And he loved us enough to provide a sacrifice, a solution, and he made it so simple that it's a free gift. All I have to do is receive it. A pardon is not earned. Suppose this morning that I'm at war with an opposing army. And let's assume for a moment that they come with a superior force. And I glance and it's very apparent that I can't win. But the general of the opposing army is kind enough to send somebody an embassage with a treaty in hand that's reasonable, so that I have a graceful way out of this and I don't have to be destroyed. Suppose the embassage comes and the representative offers me the treaty and I slap it from his hand and refuse. You realize what's going to happen here. I can't win this. I'm going to be destroyed. But it was not because of lack of compassion. It was not because of lack of mercy. It was because when there's something very reasonable offered me, I pushed it to the side. I slapped the hand away. God extended his hand, and I disregarded it. It's kind of like fighting a lifeguard when you're drowning. You're drowning, and they come to salvage your life, and you fight them and self-destruct in the process. And I say to you to fight God, to refuse to receive Jesus Christ, to put it off for another day or hour, could be the destruction of your soul forever. There's some urgency to this matter, and there is a time when it is too late. There is a time when there is no remedy. There is a time when there is no longer any hope. I wouldn't gamble on something as fragile as tomorrow with something as permanent is my eternal soul. But he said that I stretched out my hand and no man regarded. He said, you said it not. All of my counsel. He said, I sent preachers. And my spirit dealt with your heart. And I sent preachers to give you the gospel. But to bring something to naught means nothing. You disregard it to the point that it had absolutely no impact on you. He said, you would none of my reproof. He said, you resisted me again and again. You wouldn't admit your guilt. You wouldn't respond in repentance and faith. He said, you hated knowledge. He said, you remained as willfully ignorant as you could. You didn't want to hear it. You ran from it. And just as Stephen stood before his stoning and preached to them about the Lord Jesus, and the Bible said they stopped their ears. Most folks in a preaching service don't put their fingers in their ears, but in their mind they refuse to take in many cases, what is being preached to their own destruction, to their own damnation. What a tragedy for God to be merciful enough when we're sinners and we deserve hell. The wages of sin is a second death in hell. And if you work all week, at the end of the week, you collect your wages. That is your earnings. That's what you have coming. And God said, what I have earned as a sinner is a second death in hell. But He said, you know, I don't want you to go to hell. And I sent my Son to die as your substitute, be buried and rise again the third day. And today, I'm extending my hand in mercy. If you'll take my hand, if you'll receive my Son, we'll cleanse that sin and give you eternal life as a gift. And you can go to a heaven you don't deserve to go to. And you can escape a hell that you do deserve to go to. Now, sounds to me like God's being pretty reasonable. Sounds to me like you stand to lose nothing and gain everything by turning to Jesus Christ. You know, the fact that people reject an offer like this would make you believe there's a devil. Make you believe somebody's messing with their mind, because there's nothing logical about rejecting Christ. Nothing logical about God offering me mercy and grace and me slapping His hand to the side, me ignoring what He is doing, me fighting Him when He's trying to salvage me, me refusing to receive the pardon, me refusing to sign the treaty or agree to it. Doesn't make any logical sense. And when people do something that illogical, that is self-destructive, it is usually the work of Satan manipulating their minds to destroy their eternal souls in hell. But they hated knowledge, and they did not choose the fear of the Lord. They were more worried about what their friends might think than they were about where they're going to end up forever. You know, I see people in invitations looking around to see what somebody else is going to do. Well, if they go to hell, you going with them? If they reject Christ, you're going to self-destruct with them? What does it matter what everybody else does? You have to face God alone as an individual, and you're going to go to heaven or hell based on what you personally do with Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter what everybody else says. You better choose the fear of God rather than the fear of man. The Bible said the fear of man bringeth a snare. You know what a snare is for, don't you? Little loop you put on a trail where an animal's going to come through and he snares himself. He'll choke himself plumb to death. And the fear of the Lord will destroy you. The fear of man will destroy you, and the fear of the Lord will deliver you. He'll deliver you from that destruction. But if you don't choose the fear of God, you will choose the fear of man. And you'll sit around worrying, what are they going to think? I'm afraid I might embarrass myself. Well, I mean, you know, everybody'd rather go to hell than be embarrassed. I mean, it makes lots of sense. First of all, doing the right thing won't embarrass you. But if it did, and you went to heaven embarrassed, I'd rather go to heaven embarrassed than go to hell unembarrassed. Because when you start begging for a drop of water and do it for 10,000 years, and it can never be granted, imagine begging like that's going to be kind of embarrassing. We have a precedent for that in the Scriptures. That man has been begging for 2,000 years for a drop of water, and that prayer never can be answered. I wouldn't wait until I got myself in that situation and say, would God I had. Boy, I wish I'd have responded. I wish I'd have taken His hand. I wish I'd have received His Son. I wish I had responded to the gospel. I wish I'd done the right thing. You know, He says in verse 24, Because I've called and they refused. I stretched out my hand, no man regarded. So here's the reason for the problem. Here's the reason that it gets to where there's no hope. It's not because God didn't want you. It's not because God didn't extend a hand to you. Because I called and they refused. Because I stretched out my hand and no man regarded. Then He tells us in verse 31, therefore. Anytime you see the word therefore, you always look back and see what it's there for. It always points to a previous statement. He said, because you rejected my mercy and my grace and slapped my hand away and said no and would not have my knowledge and truth, He said, therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way. Let me give you a Bible verse on that. In Proverbs 14 and verse 12, the Bible says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. But the end thereof are the ways of death. You better not operate by what you seem or what seems right to you or what you think is okay. You better find out what God says is right. Better operate by God's standard, not yours. You better find out what it takes to get to heaven instead of thinking you'll make it like you are. There is a desperate need. And God said, the day will come when it's too late. The day will come when you cry out and I won't answer. I can't answer. That man in Luke 16 in hell has been begging for 2,000 years and that prayer never can be answered. Huh? Too often, we delay until it's too late and then fret over our foolishness. We wait and then fret for years and years and years. But we have for all eternity to fret over this bad decision. You know, if I ask anybody in this room, where do you want to spend forever? Where do you want to go when you die? I seriously doubt, unless we had some dumbbell that's trying to be a smart aleck, I don't think anybody would say to me, I want to go to hell. If I came up to any one of you in this room, looked you in the eye and said, where do you want to spend forever? Where do you want to go when you die? Everybody in this room would say, I want to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven. But you know the tragedy? Everybody wants to go to heaven, but many folks, when they're faced with the choice, they want heaven, but they choose hell. Look, you don't get what you want, you get what you choose. The Bible says in the book of Deuteronomy, choose life. How you do that? Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. I have to choose Him. I have to receive Him. There, not just believe the facts about Him. There's got to be a pen when I settle the transaction of receiving Him as my personal Savior and get born into the family of God. You know, in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3, the Bible declares that there was a time when it's too late. God said to those people in Noah's day, my spirit shall not always strive with man. He said, you've had 120 years. I reckon that probably long enough to get in the ark, wouldn't you say? They had plenty of time. And I don't know how old you are this morning, but you've had a lifetime. I'd say right now would be a pretty good time to get in. Because there will be a time when it's too late. There will be a time, just like in Noah's day, that the door was open. And it was open for a long time. And God gave him one last week of reprieve. And one last warning, and then the Bible says, God closed the door. Noah didn't close the door. The preacher, God said, they've had ample opportunity. They've refused. They've rejected. They love their sin. They'll have none of me. And they're ripe for judgment. It's time. I assure you that whenever the water got about neck high, a bunch of them came back, started beating on the ark, saying, Noah, we believe now. Noah's not the one that closed the ark. God did. And Noah couldn't open it. Noah couldn't get him in. You know, people wait until it's too late to respond. They wait. Well, I want to see this. By the time you see it, who's ever seen hell? Lots of people. They just never came back to tell about it, nor will you. Some of you may get a look at it, but you're going to be looking at it forever and forever and forever and forever without Him. Wouldn't mess around like that if I were you. Because God said, he that being often reproved and hardened his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, that without remedy. Remember in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 17, it tells us about Esau, that he sought a place of repentance with tears and found none. What was that over? Well, he despised his birthright. Can I say to you, there are a lot of people that despise God's salvation. So what does the word despise mean? Lightly esteem. They take it lightly. I can do that anytime. I'm not ready today. I've got to get straightened out first. When I get ready, I'll do that. The fact is that you may find yourself in a situation where everything is collapsing and falling apart, or where you find yourself in a place you don't want to be and locked in forever. Too late! Sad words indeed. Too late! You know, I remember watching the news when a hurricane was coming into southwest Florida years ago. And it was a ferocious hurricane. They evacuated the area. And the news media was in the area like they usually are, with the winds blowing and the surf rising and they saw some lights on in the building. They went over and knocked on the door of this apartment building, and a young man came to the door. There were about five or six of them in this apartment. And these reporters said, didn't you get the statement from the state police and from the city? You're supposed to evacuate. The young guy said, we're going to party through the storm. We're going to party through the storm. Shortly thereafter, the media left because the hurricane was making landfall. They get out of there, and it was a ferocious hurricane. About 4 days later, that same crew of reporters went back to the area where they had talked to those young fellows to see how they had fared. When they got back to the area, all they found was a concrete slab swept clean. No building, no people. Party through the storm, huh? I assure you, when that building started coming apart, I assure you, when that wall of water hit, they would have liked to have had deliverance, but they missed their window of opportunity. Now it was too late! Can I say to you, some people are frivolous about salvation. They think they're going to party through the storm. They think they're going to send their way out of this thing. Sounds about like our politicians. You get in debt, you're going to spend your way out of it. I'm not an economic genius, but my dad taught me better than that. Huh? Last time I checked, you kind of cut back when you're in debt instead of spending more that you don't have. And people are foolish enough to assume that they're going to party through the storm and party in hell. Hell is a place of outer darkness. It is a place of languishing loneliness. There are no family get-togethers there. Everybody you know may be in hell, but you'll never see them again. There will be no get-togethers. And if you could see them, the pain, the agony, and the misery is so intense that you could never have any conversation with them, never enjoy their presence. And we're not talking about something that lasts for a day or a week or a year. We're talking about something that has no end forever and forever and forever. You don't want to find yourself in that situation. You know, when Hurricane Katrina came in, we had a similar situation. There were people who had been warned repeatedly to get out of the area and refused. And when the hurricane made landfall, many of those people lost their lives and the others were stranded in a nearly unbearable situation. They began to complain about their plight. And why doesn't somebody do something? Why didn't you get out when you had a chance? There's a lot of complaint in hell. And a bunch of do-gooders that don't pay any attention to what God said. Listen to me, my friend. Well, I just don't believe a loving God would send a sinner to hell. He didn't. The sinner sent himself to hell. God sent his son to die for them. God extended his hand to mercy. God called and they refused. God reached out and they slapped his hand away. God gave messengers to warn and they plugged their ears to the warning. The fault is not with God. People miss their window of opportunity and it's too late. And can I say to you, the clock is ticking this morning. There may be somebody under the sound of my voice that has less than 24 hours to live and you may be healthy at the moment. But if you think being young and healthy is going to guarantee that you live a long time, you need to pick up a newspaper and look at the obituary column. You'll find out that most people don't die of old age because their body wore out. There are a million ways to die. But there's only one way to live. And that's through Jesus Christ and a born-again experience. And the clock is ticking and time is running out on you. Now's the time. Today's the day. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? You know, you can't turn to Christ too soon because you have no idea how soon it'll be too late. I'm going to tell you, I'm not a riverboat gambler. And when I heard the gospel, I was a bouncer in a bar room. Very proud man. But you know what? I couldn't think of one thing worth burning in hell over. And there weren't any of my friends that I was more worried about pleasing than I was about going to heaven. There wasn't any sin I was engaged in that I thought was more valuable than my eternal soul. And I said, you know, I don't know if I can live it or not, but I sure want what God is offering me. You'll never find out if you can live it until you get it. If you wait till you can live it to receive it, you will never receive it. Because it's not until He comes in that you become a new creature and have the capacity to do the right thing and the hunger and the desire. But in Luke 16, we find the man who found out it was too late. In Luke chapter 12, we find the man who heard the words, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." It was too late for him. He had missed his window of opportunity. In Noah's day, when the door of the ark was closed, it was too late. You know, when the tsunami hit overseas, I read a story about an American woman that had been there on vacation for about a week previous to the tsunami. And she had gone to the same little restaurant on the coast every morning, big picture window viewing the ocean front. And on the morning, that Sunday morning when the tsunami hit, she went down, walked into the restaurant, and the same young girl that had met her and seated her several other mornings met her, and the woman began to walk to the seat she'd sat in, looking out that picture window at the ocean front. As she got close to the window, she looked out at sea and saw something rather strange, something she'd not seen the other morning she'd been there. She said to the young woman, she said, "What is that?" The young woman looked, dropped the menus, and said, "Run for your life!" That young woman turned and ran out of the restaurant with no explanation. The American woman who was there vacationing ran out behind her. They ran as fast as they could run to the highest point they could find and barely arrived until bodies were swept up at their feet by the surf. We're trying to say, preacher, the woman said, "What is that?" Well, it was a wall of water. It was a tsunami. But let's assume that she said, "What is that?" And the young woman with the menu said, "Oh, that's a tsunami." A tsunami? What is that? Well, it's a big wall of water. What causes a tsunami? Well, it could be an earthquake. It could be volcanic activity on the floor of the ocean. It could be the shifting of the plates on the earth. Really? Have you ever had one before? Now, do you realize that by the time she got done getting all of her questions answered, it would have been too late to escape? You say, "But preacher, I have questions." There are answers. But you better run for your life and get to safety. If you try to get all the answers to your questions before you come to Christ, you're going to miss your window of opportunity. It will be too late. Get to safety first, then get your questions answered. There are answers. But your soul was in harm's way. You know, I can think, and I'm not going to tell you the particular stories, but three of my old friends that I traveled with as a lost man, three of them I witnessed to, and all three of them put it off. I talked to them about their soul, talked to them about getting saved, and each one of them is a particular story. But all three of those fellows died in less than 24 hours, died lost. I witnessed to them. I pleaded with them to trust Christ. I gave my testimony and told them what God had done for me. And they looked at me and they said, "I know God did something for you. You're changed. You're different." But on every occasion, they said, "Not now. Let me think about it over the weekend." Another one said, "I'll come Sunday and get saved." But was in a car wreck on Saturday night. One said, "Let me think about it over the weekend." And on Saturday, some people that he had a dope deal with kicked him off a cliff at a quarry. And he smashed to the rocks one day before the weekend, as he called it, was over. The third one said, "Not now." Died of a drug overdose. Less than 24 hours. So what are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to tell you that you don't have forever to settle this. There's urgency. There's a time when it's too late. And God loves you enough this morning to extend a hand of mercy, says, come unto me. All ye that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. I'm going to give you rest from your sin and rest from the judgment and rest from the guilt. I'm going to forgive you. I'm going to give you eternal. But you must come now. Come now and let us reason together. Not tomorrow. Remember now thy Creator. Now. Right now. There's urgency. And to hesitate, you may find out in less than 24 hours, it's too late. And what you took for granted today, what you refuse today, you may beg for forever and never have the opportunity to obtain it. Because when it was available, you said no. When God extended His hand, you said no. When God sent His preacher, you said no. And now it's too late. If I were you, I wouldn't gamble. I wouldn't put it off till tomorrow because you don't even know for sure that you have one of those. I wonder this morning how many folks in this crowd could honestly say, preacher, if I died where I sit right now, I am 100% sure that I am born again on my way to heaven for a Bible reason. Now please listen to me. I'm going to ask you this morning to be perfectly honest for this reason. The Bible says all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You say, preacher, why will all liars be in hell? Because a person who will not be honest cannot be helped. A person who won't admit that they are lost will never be saved. You will doom yourself to hell by living a lie. Now listen to me, folks. Anybody in this room can raise your hand and lie to me. You can raise your hand and tell me that you are 100% sure of heaven when in your heart you are not 100% sure of heaven. You can fake the person beside you out, maybe. And you can fake me out because I just have to go by what you tell me. But I'm going to tell you something, my friend. You are not going to fake your way into heaven. You don't fool. It doesn't matter what you make me believe. It matters what God knows to be true. And I beg you this morning, would you at least have enough integrity to tell the truth at church? Now, I think y'all tell the truth all the time, don't you? Let me ask a question. If you won't even tell the truth at church, where are you going to start telling it? If you'll sit here and lie to the preacher who's trying to help you, do you think making me think something's going to help you when you die? Well, I fooled him. No, you fooled yourself. You really fooled yourself by playing mind games with somebody that was desperately trying to help you in the name of God. And I want to help you this morning, but I can't help anybody. God can't help anybody that won't even admit they have a need, that pretends to be sure when they're not. So please, this morning, if there's any doubt at all, don't sit there and be a hypocrite, a fake, a phony, a pretender, a liar. Don't raise your hand because someone else does. Just have enough integrity to be honest. And if you're not sure, just don't lie about it. I don't think that's too much to expect. I wonder how many of us in this room could honestly say, preacher, if I fell dead where I sit right now, I am 100% sure that I am born again on my way to heaven for a Bible reason. If you could honestly say that, honestly now, as a testimony, I want you to slip your hand up good and high. And if there's any doubt at all, don't you raise your hand. You be honest. All right, God bless you. You can put them back down. Listen to me. I want you to look at me. Look up here. Look at me. Don't look at each other. Don't talk. Look at me. Scattered across this crowd this morning, there were many of us who could not raise a hand. Others who raised a hand very, very hesitantly. Now, God loves you. Jesus Christ died for you. He was buried. He rose again the third day, just like the Bible says. He wants to save you. But God does not take hostages to heaven. God doesn't force anybody against their will. And I urge you this morning, while there's still opportunity, God's extending His hand. Don't brush it aside. God's inviting you to something you don't deserve, and He's not in the mess you are. And He's loving enough to give you one more chance. Don't squander it. Don't waste it. Don't lightly esteem it. Don't despise it. While God's hand's extended, take it in faith and receive the free gift of eternal life. For somebody under the sound of my voice, this really could be the last chance you'll ever have. Don't take it lightly. Tomorrow it may be too late. I want us to bow our heads for just a moment. I want every head bowed, please, every eyes closed, nobody looking around, nobody leaving, nobody talking. Please listen to me now. Tune your ear to my voice. And please be honest. I wonder how many of us in this room would be honest enough and concerned enough to say, "Preacher, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to lie to you. I could not raise my hand a moment ago. I do not know if I died that I'd go to heaven. Or I did raise it, but in my heart, I'm not really 100% sure." I want you to be honest. Would you do that? I wonder how many folks would be honest enough to say, "Preacher, I'm not going to lie to you. If I had to die right now, I'm not 100% sure that I'd go to heaven. But I do want to go to heaven when I die. Please pray for me." If that's you, would you slip your hand up good and high so we can see it? There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. There's 20 or more hands. Somebody else. Up in the balcony, there's another and another. And God bless you. To my right, there's another there. And I see you in the back. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. A number of men, a number of ladies, a bunch of young people. Yes, sir, I see your hand back here to my left near the back. God bless you. Probably near 30 hands. I've already been raised. Somebody else say, "Preacher, I didn't raise mine, but I need to. I'm not sure, but I want to be. Pray for me." Yes, sir, God bless you. And I see your hand here on the aisle. Yes, I see your hand back there. Somebody else, yes, God bless you. Put it up so I can see it. Put it back down. Yes, God bless you over here. And up there, I see your hand. Yes, I see your hand back there in the balcony. Yes, God bless you here in the first row of the back section on my left. I see your hand. Somebody else. Yes, God bless you. I see you in the right section. You're in the back. Somebody else put it up good and high, "Preacher, I did not raise it. I'm not 100% sure." Boy, if I have a choice in the matter, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to gamble. I don't want to take a chance on finding out tomorrow. Too late. Too much at stake here, folks. Too much. You said, "Pray for me too. Is there one more before I bow my head?" Yes, God bless you. Yes, ma'am. God bless you, sir. I see your hand. God bless you. Somebody else. Those of you, I just saw three hands to my right. Somebody else, you did not raise a hand, but you lift it right now. "Preacher, pray for me too." Yes, sir. God bless you. I see your hand back in the back to my right. Yes, God bless you here. Yes, ma'am. I see your hand. Last row in the first section of my left. Somewhere else. You say, "Preacher, pray for me." Someone else, slip it up good and high. "Preacher, I'm not sure." Yes, God bless you. I see your hand in the balcony. Is there one more before I bow my head? I don't want to leave you out, but I can't linger long. Is there one more? You say, "Preacher, I didn't lift it. I've been struggling, but I need that, and I want you to pray for me too. Is there one more?" Yes, God bless you. I see your hand. Somebody else. Yes, God bless you. I see your hand down here on the bottom floor to my right. Somebody else. Yes, God bless you. I see your hand. Is there one more before I bow my head? I don't want to leave you out. Yes, God bless you. I see your hand up there, and God bless you to my right in the balcony up in the corner. I see your hand. Yes, God bless you. I see your hand in the balcony in my left. Yes, God bless you. Another hand just went up in the balcony. Is there one more before I bow my head? You should pray for me, preacher. I'm not 100% sure, but I'd like to be. Man, if I have a choice, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to gamble. Pray for me. Is there one more before I bow my head? You should pray for me. Father, thank you for speaking to these. Please bind the enemy off their lives. Draw them to the Lord Jesus. Help them to recognize the urgency. The emergency of the matter, please, Lord, help them to realize now's the time, today's the day, and neglect will put them possibly in less than 24 hours in a position where there's no remedy. May they realize the urgency and respond accordingly. We'll praise you and thank you for what's accomplished, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Now listen closely, please. I want every head bowed and every eye closed except those 30, 35, maybe even 40 of you who raised your hand. I want everybody that raised a hand, I want you right now to lift your head. I want you to open your eyes. I want you to look right up here at me. I'm not going to come to you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to talk to you, and I want you to look me in the eye while I do. So look at me, and don't bow your head on me again, okay? Just keep looking at me, and I'm going to come back to you more than once, so please keep looking at me. You meant that, didn't you, ma'am? You'd like to be 100% sure, and you meant that, didn't you, sir? You meant that, didn't you? And you did. And you meant that. And back there, you meant that, didn't you? And you did. I'm going to come across the bottom floor, and I'll be to the balcony. He said, don't close your eyes on me up there. You meant that, didn't you? You'd like to be saved? No, is that right? You did. You meant that. Back here, you folks, a great number of you back in this section, you folks raise hand. You're serious about that, aren't you? You really do want to go to heaven. You'd like to be sure you're going to heaven. You meant that, didn't you, sir? You meant that, didn't you? You did. You did. Over in this section, those of you that raised a hand, you meant that, didn't you, ma'am? And you did, young lady, and you meant that. You meant that. Back there, you meant that, didn't you? Did you? You meant that, didn't you, ma'am? Back there, you folks, you meant that, didn't you, sir? Did you mean that? Over to my left, you meant that, didn't you? Did you mean that? You serious about it? Up in the balcony, number of you all the way across, you meant that, didn't you? You won't be saved, know it. You meant that. You meant that. Now, you're not ashamed of Jesus, are you folks up here? You're not ashamed of Christ, are you? Just shake your head at know it. Amen. Not ashamed of him, are you? You're not ashamed of Jesus, are you? You folks over here, you're not ashamed of Christ, are you? You're not. You're not ashamed of him, are you? You ashamed of Jesus? You're not, are you? You're not. You're not ashamed of Christ. Now, listen to me closely. If you'd like to be saved and know it for sure, as you indicated, and you are not ashamed of Jesus Christ, I want everybody that raised a hand and you're looking at me, I want you right now, very quietly, I want you to just stand to your feet right where you are. Just stand up for Jesus. That's right. Amen. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 30, 1, 2, 3, 4, 40 people or more. Somebody else, you did not stand. You did raise your hand, but you didn't stand. Don't hold out. There's too much at stake here. You stand to lose your soul. Don't gamble. Tomorrow could be too late. 3 o'clock this afternoon could be too late. Now listen to me closely. If you're standing, you see these men down here? They are here to help you. If you're standing, I want you, if you would, you folks in this section, just step right out now. Come right down here. Back there, find the nearest aisle and come over here. Ma'am, if you would step out in that aisle. Sir, if you would step out in that aisle, come all the way to the end. Down the front here. Don't sit back down now. Step out and come. Up in the balcony, you find it. Come right on down. You step out and come down the stairs. Workers will come with you. Folks back here in this section, you see, look at me. Just step out and come right now. You folks on that row there, just step out and come right down here. Sir, ma'am, just step out and come. Make way right on down. Someone will take the word of God, tell you how to be sure of heaven. That's right. Just step out and come. Amen. Don't sit back down. Come to Christ while you can. Don't gamble on that. There's too much at stake. Your soul is too valuable to be fooling around like that. Amen. Others of you need to come. Just step out and come. Don't sit back down. Your pride will get the best of you. Your soul is more valuable than your pride. There's too much at stake here. Don't worry about what somebody thinks. Don't worry about embarrassment. I mean, we're talking about forever and forever in either heaven or hell. That's right. You just keep on coming. Step out. Come. Would you do it? Folks are still coming. How about you? Make your way all the way to the front. We're going to need every one of you folks that can win a soul. Personal worker are going to need you, men and women, to lead souls to Christ. Got a great harvest here. Many folks coming to receive Christ. Need you workers so we can get you paired with ladies and men. Others of you, how about it, sir? How about it, man? Why don't you step out and come? Why don't you come? Come to Christ. How about it? Raise a hand. How about it, sir? You raise a hand. Your soul's more valuable than that. You think you're going to be alone down there? There's 40 people here. You're willing to lose your soul for what? What do you stand to gain? Why don't you come? Step out and come. Do the will of God. You'll be glad for the rest of your life and for all eternity that you made the right choice. How about it? Just stand to your feet, step out and come. Do the will of God. Why don't you come? How about it? You stand to lose absolutely nothing by receiving Christ. Stand to gain everything. Don't let the devil make your decision for you. You say, well, the devil's not making my decision. Well, I'd say if you're rejecting the free gift of eternal life and you tell me you want to go to hell and you want to go to heaven and you choose hell instead, I have a hard time believing the devil's not influencing your thinking and your decision making. How about it? Why don't you step out and come? Raise the hand. Why don't you come? Step out and come. Don't worry about what everybody thinks. Come to Christ while you can. How about it? How about it? Some of you still have opportunity, but that clock is ticking. You're going to wait until you hear the word, too late! For what? Tell me, what are you going to gain by rejecting Christ? Tell me, what's it going to do for you to leave here lost this morning knowing better? Tell me! What is there to gain? Won't you come while you can? Thank God for these many that have come. Is there somebody else? There are others because you raised a hand. You recognize your need. Are you going to leave here rejecting Christ? Oh, you said, preacher, I'm not rejecting Him. I'm just not receiving Him. Well, I hate to tell you this, but that middle ground you're claiming does not exist. Matthew 12 and verse 30, the Bible said, He that is not with me is against me. There isn't any in between. If you don't receive Him, you do reject Him. You understand that? You understand that? And to reject Christ is to reject the only hope you have. I read an article some time ago about a man who had a heart transplant. His body rejected that heart, and he died. Do you realize his body rejected what it could not live without? And when it rejected that heart, the body died. It was a suicidal move for his body. Can I say to you, you can't have eternal life without Jesus Christ. To reject Him is a certain second death in hell. Are you sure that's how you want to spend forever? Because forever may start 5 minutes from after the service is over for you. You have no guarantee of it tonight, tomorrow, next week. We all plan like we have a future, but none of us know for sure that we do. Not in this world. It could all come to a screaming halt in a split second. Somebody else did not respond. You need to come. I wonder this morning with their heads bowed and eyes closed, how many folks say, preacher, I'm saved. I've already received Christ, but I have not yet obeyed Him in believer's baptism since I have received Him. I know that I should. Pray for me. That's you. Would you slip your hand up? Good. I'm already saved and got that settled. But I have not yet obeyed the Lord in baptism since I have received Him. I know that I should. Please pray for me if that's you. Would you slip your hand up good and high? Anybody like that? Yes, I see your hand up there. God bless you. Somebody else? Yes, God bless you to my left. Somebody else? I'm saved. I got that much settled. But I've not yet obeyed the Lord in baptism since I've been saved. I know I should. Pray for me. Somebody else? You'd slip it up good and high and put it back down. Preacher, pray for me. Father, thank You for speaking to these. I pray You'd have Your way in their hearts. Help them to love the Lord Jesus enough to take the very first step of obedience and identify with Him in believer's baptism, showing they're not ashamed that they're Christians, not ashamed that He saved them, not ashamed that He lives in their hearts. We'll praise You for it and thank You in Jesus' name. Listen closely, please. I want just those of you that lifted a hand about baptism, I want you to look this way. Just lift your head, open your eyes, look right here at me. Already been saved, sir? You have Christ in your heart? How about you up there? Have you been saved? You're not ashamed of Jesus, are you? You're not ashamed of Him, are you? Do you love Jesus? Do you love Him enough to obey the first command He gave? Love enough to do the first thing He told you to do? You love Him that much? If you mean that, I want you right now, if you would, just stand to your feet right there where you're at. Just stand up. Just stand to your feet right where you're at. You do that? If you are standing, I want you to find, if you would, young lady, just step out and make your way right on down. Someone will meet you here. Just come this way and down the steps. Somebody will meet you here. Sir, if you would, find the nearest aisle. Whichever's the easiest way to get out. Folks will excuse you and let you out. Come right on down. Let somebody tell you how and when you can do that for the Lord Jesus. Amen. Good decision, folks. Saved people ought to obey the Lord Jesus. I wonder with their heads about how many folks say, preacher, I am not a member of this good Bible preaching church. I've been thinking about it, been praying about it. Pray with me, I'd know the will of God about that matter. Not a member here, but I've been considering it. Pray with me that God would give me wisdom about that matter. If that's you, would you slip your hand up good and high so I can see it? Somebody like that, not a member here, been considering it. Pray with me, I'd know the will of God about that matter. And I want to ask you Christians one more question. Are you listening to me, Christian? I wonder how many of us in this room say, preacher, I'm saved. But there's somebody that I dearly love. I'm not being judgmental, but by their own testimony, by what they tell me, they have never been saved. And preacher, I want you to pray with me that God would help me to do everything in my power to get them to Jesus Christ before it is too late for them. I've already settled it myself. But there's somebody I love or somebody I work with, a friend, a neighbor, a loved one, and by their own testimony, from what they tell me, they're not born-again Christians, and I want you to pray with me that God would help me to do everything in my power to get them to Jesus before it's too late for them. Pray for me as a Christian that God would help me and empower me and use me to reach them. That's you. Would you slip your hand up and I've seen all the crowd. God bless you. I see those hands everywhere. Amen. God bless you. Father, we love you. Thank you for speaking to us. And I pray you'd minister to us now. Give us the power we need. Give us the wisdom we need to reach these folks. I pray you'd touch their hearts, make them tender, and help us to have the courage to speak to them, the courage to try to bring them, the courage to give our testimony to them. Please, Spirit of God, do a mighty work this morning in the hearts of these who raised a hand, and we'll praise you for it and thank you in Jesus' name. I want us to stand together, please. Heads bowed, eyes closed, everybody standing. Just a moment. I'm going to point to the musicians. When I do, they're going to begin to play a stanza or two of an invitation song. I'm going to ask every Christian that raised a hand. You said, I've got a loved one, a friend, a neighbor. I'm burdened for them. And I want you to pray with me that God will help me to do everything in my power to get them to Jesus before it's too late for them. If you raised your hand, I'm asking you without hesitation, first chord that struck on the instruments, you leave your seat, you come, you might pray for them by name. Maybe there's a bunch of them. But you need to pray for wisdom. You need to pray for boldness. You need to pray for the power of God. You need to ask God to give you an open door and to touch the heart. But right now, as the music plays, you raise the hand as a Christian. You come. You leave your seat and come. Do the will of God. Wait and see what somebody else is going to do. You got folks you care about. They have a soul. And they're going to one of two places, heaven or hell, depending on what they do with Christ. Doesn't matter if they're good people or bad people. We all have a common problem. Good people are good sinners. Bad people are bad sinners. But sin will doom a soul to hell. And we need the righteousness of Christ. Everyone does. We need to do everything we can to get these folks we love to Jesus while there's still hope. Before it's too late for them.